Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me tonight for the Heretics Hour, coming to you from a new location on Blog Talk Radio, but still the same program. I hope I am loud enough because I know my mic is a little funny sometimes in the beginning. It doesn't come on at the proper volume right away. So I have my email open, and if any of my faithful listeners want to let me know if I started out loud enough, I'd appreciate it. But I'll just continue as I'm going along here. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and I have to introduce myself now, which is okay because I always do. I'm your host for the past 4 years on the Heretics Hour. Yes, I want to remind you that March 1st, 2014 was the fourth anniversary of the Heretics Hour, and I'm not ready to close it down yet, although Tan Stoffel seems to have made an attempt to do that. Now, I'm going to go right into the meat of what this program is about tonight, as I imagine most of the listeners are aware of it, because I have it on the program page there. And it is about, as I said, the demise of the White Network, which I think it's time, now that I have my show going again, to speak about it. I wrote a post about it at carolynyeager.net in response to Tan's program and his post that he posted at the White Network before he closed it down. And so I wrote that, but I would really like to speak about it also. So that's why this first Heretics Hour program that's not at the White Network is devoted to this topic. And I want to add that about a half hour before this show started, I saw that he had put up his what he calls the White Network Archive site, and he added not only what he had left there before, and he said it was left just as it was April 15th. However, he had to write another very long blog and added that, so it's not a copy of what was there when it was shut down. It's a copy of that, plus whatever he wants to add at any time he wants to add it, and still trying to use the name the White Network. I mean, I knew that he was going to, that he had a backup and that he could put the site up again. But I also knew he couldn't call it the White Network, but I knew he'd call it something like that. He'd add something to it so that people wouldn't know what it was. Now, I'm proud of everything I did on the White Network, so I'm not upset with people seeing all of my work there. And not only my radio programs, but my very important blog posts that are there. And what this site shows is that it was totally dominated by yours truly, Carolyn Yeager. And it was without Carolyn Yeager at the White Network, it wouldn't have been a network. There would never have been a network. What I'm going to do is, in this program, I'm going to continue in the first hour with what I had already prepared. And then in the second hour, I will talk, I will respond to this new blog that he has written and put up, is now online at this archive page. So I don't get, you know, confused and go back and forth and things. And I would like to point out that I will take phone calls as long as there's not somebody calling in to harass me in the second hour. And that number is 323-642-1206. That is 323-642-1206, but not until the second hour. Now, I was going to start out by asking, what was Tan Stoffel thinking in closing down the White Network? He was thinking, for one thing, that it belonged to him. And he still thinks it belonged to him. He's presenting it, I'm going off my notes here, but he's presenting it as something that he created to help me, and therefore I'm just the person being helped, and he's the one who's doing it all. But this is not the case. The website itself, the broadcasting platform, thus all of it, he created. Yeah, he created that, and as he saw it. The website was just the website itself is just an off-the-rack WordPress design that you can find there still at WordPress, and you can select it, and you can have one just like it with the same images there, same image. Now, one thing I learned about Tan is that he doesn't believe in paying for anything he can get for free, and there's lots of ways to get things for free on the Internet if you know how to do it. So he kept the cost to a minimum, but it was my money and my name on everything. I was the owner of the domain name, and I still am now, and I was the owner of the server, as well as the Skype telephone line, and the post office box, and the White Network PayPal account. It was all in my name with my credit card information backing it up. All that Tan did was take care of his system when something went wrong. And he set up the new programs, which there weren't hardly any. He put the music in place for them. It was not a big job once that system was built. And I'm not going to go into how long it took to fix things, but the biggest demand on his time was after that was actually helping new hosts start up a show. And which, as I already said, was a rare occurrence. They all complained to me also that he didn't supply them with the help they asked for. And that is not, and he knows that. We discussed those things. And he said, well, you know, if they don't want to read what I give them, that's not my problem. He really didn't want to be bothered with people, and that's why we didn't try to have more hosts. In the beginning, I thought, oh, we should try to, you know, create a real network. But I found that they were that he found them troublesome, and they were kind of troublesome, and so it was easier to forget that and just go along with he and I, until I invited Paul Hickman on, and of course I asked him if he had any objections. He said no, but I had been talking with Paul Hickman, so we tried one more time with Paul, and he required a lot of time too to learn the ropes, but he also complained to me, I'm sorry to have to say this, but that he could never get answers from Tan, and Tan was usually so often not available, and he'd come to me and I'd try to help him, but I could only help him so much. And so it took him, he had a few problems with his show because he didn't understand exactly what he needed to do. But not to go into all of that is not why I'm saying that, but simply to say that the network did not belong to Tan Stoffel. And he has now taken it over as an archive and put it all, you know, put it up there, as I said, as though it is only his. And he has found out, it did not belong to him, as he has found out. Why did he not anticipate what I might do? Could it be because he was so rash in his plan after April 12th and did not consult with anyone, probably his wife, that's it, about what he thought, what he was going to do? And could it be because he was acting out of anger and repressed emotions and resentments that he did not act rationally in doing that, even though he has sought and is still seeking to put a rational veneer on it? Some of that will be in the second half in response to his latest blog. And really, you know, if you think that I enjoy this back and forth kind of attack, I don't, but I do have to defend myself from really the outrageous charges that he has been making about me. And it's too bad, because I was really working on trying to keep some respect for him and think about the good times that we had and the positive, all that positive time that we experienced up until just like 2 weeks ago. Maybe at the most started creeping up a month ago, but I didn't notice it. And so it's kind of funny, though, that things can deteriorate so very fast. But when people are acting in a way that they never have acted before, at least toward me, and it's quite unnerving, to tell you the truth. And then you're required to defend yourself. We all need to do that. I believe in that. And then it gets quite bitter and nasty. I'm not going to analyze Tan's thinking processes, which he has now started doing toward me, any more than I've already just now done, because that usually falls flat. And because I know from the motives, thoughts, and beliefs people on the internet attribute to me, they are usually dead wrong. What they say simply serves their own interests. That's what they're saying, and it has nothing to do most of the time with me. And so I'm sure I don't really know the motives, and I can't analyze why and how and what people are thinking when they're acting in ways that are against my interests as I see them. Now, I want to add in here right at the moment that I have received some very nice gifts in this interim period. In the 1 week that I was without a radio program, and I received very nice good wishes and kind messages of encouragement, which I very much appreciate, and also real material gifts, both of financial monetary donations and things. It's wonderful to feel that appreciation when so much hatred is being aimed at you. I want to thank William and Ezio in California, and Dimitar in Ontario, and Bert in the northern Midwest for their contributions. And also, someone is sending me a Blue Yeti microphone that he says he never uses anymore. Now, how nice is that? I'm excited about that. I want to discuss my program of April 12th, in which I spoke about white nationalism and did some critiquing. I re-listened to it, I think, 2 days ago, and I liked it. I had a good impression of that part, in particular the beginning part where I was talking about white nationalism. What I said sounded fair and legitimate to me. Tan reacted very negatively to my using the term cop-out, but that is how it came to me so strongly the day before. And I didn't I didn't say white nationalism worldwide was a cop-out, but that it could be used as such. And you see, I said it could, I made it very clear that I said it could be used as such, and what people say afterwards is that I said it was a cop-out, including Tan says I said it was a cop-out. Tan, for someone who supposedly is such a fair-minded person, he certainly is not being fair-minded in anything that he's saying about me, and he's misquoting me, and I'm going to go into a little bit of this as we go along. Anyway, I still think the same way. I'm not apologizing one bit for that program. I have no apologies to make, except that the part about Gabor Vona's long essay on Eurasianism had too many pauses in it. I copied the whole thing, and I just bolded certain parts, and I had to go through and look for those parts and remember what I wanted to say about them, you know, why I had bolded them. So it was a little bit slow, and that's the only thing I find wrong with that entire program, which was a good program. But it sent Tan through the roof. Now, my putting forth other ideas for white nationalists to consider seems legitimate to me. Now, as I always said, and I said then, I'm not a leader in the white nationalist movement, but people seem to look to me to some degree as one. And so I think about it, and I'm really always thinking about what is best for white people. I sincerely, and I don't think I should have to say this, because I've been involved in it since 2007, openly on the internet. I sincerely want to live with white people. And I sincerely want white people to grow in strength and to have our own homelands. And I sincerely hate what is going on with the immigration and the changing demographics. And I completely understand that it is, I hate to say this, but it is probably at a point of no return because of the birth rates, which are already set in motion. You know, they have been going on, and so the change is just going to increase. I was looking at Kevin McDonald's website, Occidental Observer, a couple days ago, and he has a little video on there. This one is by that British man. I can't think of his name now. I didn't write it down, but I'm just going off on this from memory. He heads something called, I don't know what it's called. He's in Britain, Save Britain, and something like that, .org, or, you know, it's a party or organization. He wants people to join it. He has been accused of not being enough anti-Jewish, but his whole attention is on the Muslim invasion and the brown invasion into Britain. And he's a very good speaker. And on this little video, and I recommend you go look at it if you're, you know, it's over there on Kevin McDonald's site. It's probably still there. He puts out those figures for Britain, not for the United States, shows how, and we shouldn't need to be shown at this point, but shows how the numbers increase. I'm not got the right vocabulary for this, but the numbers exponentially as it gets to be more. So once it goes reaches a certain point, then you've got more Browns than white Britons, and then pretty soon the white Britons get smaller and smaller in such huge amounts. That we're a tiny minority in our own country, and these others are just continue to, they're, you know, they're as the generations continue to have large families, the only hope is that they won't continue that, or that there will be an economic crash and there won't be any money for them and they'll leave. Those are the only hopes for it. And it's a very depressing situation, no doubt about it. And so I think that whatever can be done to get white people and white nationalists to consider what would be the most effective methods they can use to counter what's going on is legitimate. And I believe that what I said was totally legitimate. And I can certainly debate on that if I have to. And I think stifling debate on this topic is what I've been calling political correctness, which is enforced by certain elements in the so-called pro-white movement. And Tan Stoffel seems to have become a part of that because he cannot tolerate anybody saying anything about whites and white nationalists that is not okay in his in their politically correct point of view. Political correctness, I have been saying, is political correctness. No matter what you apply it to, it's not good because it stifles debate and it stifles different ideas that people might bring forth. And as I brought my ideas forth, this idea forth, very tentatively, and on that program, very carefully, and, you know, trying to speak with, you know, and not use any words that would cause people to misunderstand, you know, I think I did. I spoke rather hesitatingly for that reason, but I think I did a good job of putting it very honestly, and I don't take back a single word that I said. I don't think I misspoke or said anything I shouldn't have said, or I wish I hadn't said. Let me put it that way. Therefore, I think he's just all wrong, and I have to ask him and other people who have the same point of view why they think they have got all the answers, and there's no need to ask any questions whether white nationalism, as it's being practiced in the United States today, are they so sure that everything is being done right and there's no need to think along any different kind of lines, and that if you suggest that, you are trashing whites and you are saying whites are incapable or not doing a good job and this is bad for the white movement? Well, of course, I'd like to ask, what is the white movement? I have asked that on many programs. I've even had white nationalists on, and I've asked them that question. And they always admit and sort of confess that things are not in a good state today. And there's a lot of reasons for it. And there's been a lot of mistakes made in the past. but suddenly, with Tan Stoffel, I'll just stick with him, this is not okay to talk about. Suddenly, he acts like I've just started saying these things, and I've done it on purpose to trash white people and to trash white nationalism and to trash him because he's the one I'm thinking about. That's what he's been saying. He couldn't be more off the wall there. That's what I'll call it, off the wall. And I don't know why. I really don't know why. But I think he's gotten so upset with the lack of any action and any progress that he can't tolerate questioning about it. It's like always, one thing about Tan Stoffel, and this is true and everybody should know it, is that he is against and he kind of... tries to correct people who say that that the problems that whites are having is a large part their own fault. He really hates that. And I don't say that. I don't say that. I never have said that. But that whites need to think about what they're doing and maybe there's room for improvement, sure, sure. And maybe we've made a lot of mistakes, sure. But he can't tolerate any intimation that whites have anything to do with their own problems. And his message has been that it's all the Jews. It's the Jews. It's the Jews, stupid. Jews do what's good for Jews. And if we would just understand that we could correct this problem. And this is what he has said to me. He said it on programs I've been on with him. He's said it in his own programs, I think, in some way. He said it in his writings on his blog that he hopes that with his blog and with his programs, he will teach people. He will get it across to people. He has a very small audience, but still, he hopes that it will eventually grow. You know, he's not doing anything to push it. He just thinks it'll catch on. Although there's no time for that, but anyway, he thinks that his job and what he's trying to do is to teach people that they have to understand that it's the Jews. And that if we and that the Jews will do what's good for them, and we need to learn to do what's good for us. And that the Jews are not us. The Jews are not white. They're not us. How many times has he said that? Jews are not us, and we need to understand who is us. And so he thinks that white nationalism is a banner under which we racially aware white people can join together. But it's not happening. And when I bring forth a little bit of criticism, then I'm accused of being the most divisive element in this whole movement, in the whole country, it seems like, anymore. I'm going to bring up some things later. You know, that Carolyn Yeager is just the most disruptive and divisive person ever to come along. And this is why everybody deserts her, and now Tan Stoffel has deserted her, and that's why. I don't believe that we should just continue to say the same thing. And maybe there's some new ideas, some new thinking. That's all I'm trying to do, is stimulate some different thinking, because I've had these other thoughts, and I think they're valid. And as I like to say, before my Saturday show, I always go to town on Friday usually, and I'm driving around, and that's the only time I listen to anything mainstream, and I listen to Rush Limbaugh if it's the right time for him. And if not, I have to listen to other stuff, which I don't like, or I don't have to listen to it. But, you know, I get a little bit of input, and it stirs up ideas in me. And some of these ideas seem really clear and vivid and good. And so I often bring those up in my program on Saturday. It's not the end all be all. You know, I don't think that any program I do is the final word, and that, you know, it's got to go down in stone. But this is the way that Tan handled this program that I did on April 12th. Anyway, continuing, I would like to say that I was trying to think of how I would describe what is this political correctness in white nationalism. And it's sort of like, the way I see it, is that all whites are one. Okay, if you don't like that, if you think that's unfair, of course, all whites are not one, that all whites being white should be united. And the idea whites unite worldwide, I came up with, and then I said, again using that terrible word, that how do I have this written here? Okay, in this program, I explained that this could have a cop-out effect. This could have a cop-out effect, because if we're all one, if we're all united worldwide, then whatever somebody's doing in some other part of the world and having some success for whites, people can say, well, look, they're going to do it. They're doing it. And when they come through, then it'll boost all of us. And they're watching these other people. Now, I happen to know that Alex Linder, who I had on my program as a guest three times, and always got along well with him. He's always been a nice guest, well behaved toward me, very congenial, very polite. I was impressed with him that way. He doesn't talk all the time like he did on my program, but he did that out of respect for me. And we stayed away from certain topics. But I know, and this is not, I'm not telling anything or saying anything that, you know, would to make him look bad, because he said it himself. He spent 2 years up until, let's say, maybe 6 months ago or something, maybe more than that, doing nothing but reading everything and watching everything about Golden Dawn in Greece, and writing it and posting it on VNN Forum. And he had a real long post there with everything on it and his commentary, and he was saying that they were doing it right, this was the way to do it, and they were, so this was the thing to watch, and that's what he was doing. And all kinds of people were just watching Golden Dawn, waiting to see them succeed. And, of course, you know that it's not going to be easy. When you get when you start getting successful, that's when they come down on you. So then after that happened, that clamped down on Golden Dawn, then people started talked about it for a while, then they started looking somewhere else. Then they're looking at Yabik. And Alex Linder also spent a whole long period of time being interested in Ron Paul and reading all about libertarianism and becoming a libertarian, and saying that, you know, Ron Paul had a way to do all. He was a good guy. I didn't follow any of that, but I'm aware that he did this. And so while he was in this period where he said he was not feeling, his health wasn't good, this is what he was doing. And, you know, this is what all these people there were doing. They weren't trying to do anything here in the United States. They were just complaining and talking and following these movements in Europe. And now Yabik has turned out to be pro-Turkish for some reason. Well, I know the reason, because the head of his party thinks that the Hungarians are Turkic, or they're not Western European. And so he's promoting Eurasianism. And I think I've got something about that down below, so I won't go into that right now. If not, I'll try to come back to it. Because, well, maybe I'll just say it now while I'm thinking about it, that Tan's also, oh, I know where that is. Okay, I'll forget that for now. Now, this business about white nationalism has to be, you can't say that whites are different. Well, I've been saying that for quite a while, and Tan never brought any of this up to me as an issue until the week about, maybe not even that long a time, the week before my April 12th Saturday afternoon show, the one he's got so upset about. And he brought it up in the comments the comment section to one of my other programs. He didn't talk to me about it privately, which he certainly could have, but he just came up with a rather hostile-sounding comment directed at something that I had said. It was stimulated by a Hitler's Table Talk program, and I think that's where it was. And now that he's got all that up again, which just, as I said, I just saw a half hour before I started this show, but I see that it looks like all the comments are up again. But you can't write it. The only person that can write on that site is Tan. Isn't that good? You know, he can say whatever he wants at any time, but nobody can answer. Well, that's there, and you can look at those comments on the more recent Hitler Table Talk shows and see what was said. I don't really remember where it was, but I think that's it. And that's where it started. And he had done that before with some women that were on there that I was talking back and forth with a little bit, and he didn't like them. And he's done it also with some Christian commenters that I've had on my comment pages, and he didn't like them, and he wrote some kind of very unfriendly things to these women and to these Christians. But I didn't interfere. You know, I felt he had a right to come on there and say what he wanted, and I stayed out of it. But this time he directed it to me, and I thought I needed an answer. So I did answer a couple of them. And now that I think back on this now, and I can go and look at them again, but it appears that he wanted to start a fight with me now. That's in retrospect. I felt that at the time, but I didn't want to. So I didn't answer, and then finally I did answer a couple, and what I did was to ask him to, I asked him for quotes from me as evidence that I was trashing whites, because he said, well, I want to, you know, why are you trashing whites? And this is what he kept saying after that, that I was, he was using that phrase that I was trashing whites. I said, well, please, just like I ask everybody, please supply the quotes from me as evidence that I was trashing whites. Well, he produced a couple of lines from that Hitler Table Talk show, and he produced some links to it, to Hitler Table Talk shows about Slavs, and he saw me as being anti-white Slav, so that's how I was trashing whites. Well, you know, this is what the book says, and I'm not in a big disagreement with it, actually, Hitler Table Talk, so I'm not going to pretend to disagree if I don't disagree. But we're reading what the book says, and we're commenting on what the book says, and he suddenly doesn't like it, where at first he was quite interested and quite happy that I was going to do this book. But once he started hearing some things in it, he changed his mind. So I was supposed to behave accordingly, as he thought, if I was a good white nationalist. Excuse me. And so Tanz sees that, well, gosh, after all, he suddenly realizes that I'm a German nationalist and not a white nationalist, and he couldn't. But, you know, that's been the case all along. I've always been a German nationalist, and I've talked about it a lot. And the funny thing is, as I pointed out in the announcement for this program, I added a blog of his from the past in which, from 2 years ago, in which when he was coming on as a guest on my Heretics Hour program at when I was still on Voice of Reason, and we had become friends at that point, and were talking together a little bit, and I asked, of course I wanted him to come on my program, and that wasn't the best one to have him come on, because it was about the Dresden bombing anniversary. So I kind of hurried past that so we could get on to things that he was more knowledgeable about. But he was a good sport. He was always a good sport on every program that he goes on. So where was I going with this? It was clear from all those shows that he recommended in that blog post that he said the shows that stand out in my mind of Carolyn's, they're all about Germans, Holocaust revisionism and revisionists, and also the shows I did exposing frauds in the movement. It wasn't always the white nationalist movement. It was the truth movement at that time. But I'm good at exposing things. That's basically what I do, because I am a truth teller, and from the time I was a little girl, I have been a truth teller. And sometimes, you know, I had experience. I could tell that this truth I was saying, piping up with, was not considered to be acceptable, or not what people wanted to hear. Caused me to become a little bit hesitant to speak out and say things, because I was afraid I would say something that was not acceptable to the people around me. And this really did happen to me. But I have a passion for the truth, and I have a a deep hatred for lies. And I can tell, I mean, if you think that I'm going to let people lie about me, including Tan Staffel, you're wrong. I will correct every lie. And it's not what I want to spend my time doing, I'll tell you that. But I do spend a lot of time trying to get the truth out over the lies. And I don't think anybody is more committed to that than I am. They might be just as committed. But I, you know, I think that's basically what I am. And so naturally, people who don't like the truth being told when it has to do with them, they are the ones who decide that I am a disruptive person in the movement. And I am divisive. Well, that's my role, all right? I really see that that's my role. I come by it honestly. I'm not out to disrupt and divide things. It's just that I have to tell the truth, and I want the truth to be known. And I see all these, well, if they're not outright liars, they're people who are stretching or hiding from the truth when it comes to themselves. You know, what comes to my mind, and it's men who do this more than women. Women are more truthful. You know the story about the fish story, you know? I caught a fish. One time I was out there, we were on this fishing trip, and I caught this fish. And every time the man tells the story, the fish gets bigger and bigger and bigger and longer. And this is typical, what I have run into all my life. And let me tell you, I'm over 70 years old, so I have enough of a life to remember and to refer to. I have known a lot of men who exaggerate things to make it look bigger, better, whatever. And sometimes they really don't need to, but they just do it. This is a man thing. And I'm the person who has always not gotten that and forgotten it or whatever, or just automatically would say, that's not true. That's not right. That's not the way it was. It was such and such and such and such. And, you know, I would be calling that person out without realizing that that's what I was doing and that's how they were seeing it, and they didn't like it either. But this is what is so common, and men understand it, and men allow it, and men, let me look at my mail and see if anybody sent me a message that I have, that my, I hear you loud and clear, perfect, sound is good. Well, that one is from Paul Hickman, thank you, Paul, and the other one from Raymond. So thank you very much, fellas. I'm glad I took a look over here to, to see what was here. Okay. So I think I've made my point there. But I want to say now what did I do? Did I move down too far? Okay. Now I'm going to say that I needed some time to allow what Tan did on the 15th to sink in. I was totally shocked. And now in this new thing he's written, he acts like I'm making it up, that it came out of the blue. He said, we were talking about all this. Baloney. I'm sorry that Tan Staffel has become such a feeling the need to not tell the truth. Maybe he never has told the truth. How would I know? I only know about it when I know what people are talking about. Then I know whether they're, you know, whether they're telling it truthfully or not. But after it sunk in a little bit, I started trying to make excuses and thinking, he's probably just got upset and this and that, and I could understand various things, and I thought maybe he'd be sorry for what he did. I thought he might be remorseful, but it was too late because he had made himself so, he had made his stand so unwavering, you know, so permanent. But still, and then a couple of days ago, I realized that it was a stab in the back. He did stab me in the back. And he's going to deny this vehemently, but he did stab me in the back. I had no clue to what that he would do anything like this. Nothing. And whatever his motives may have been, based on his own perception of things, and he may have, you know, truly wanted to split ways, and on that would have been possible to do for sure. But the way he did this was a stab in the back, a genuine and real stab in the back, and there's no denying that. He really could have done it differently, more civilly, or more civilized, as many people have pointed out to him and to me, but even on his own blog, to him, that they don't think he needed to do what he did, and it was rash, but he chose to do it this way, and it is the stab in the back. And think about this, too. People like to call me a drama queen because I'm female, so that fits. You know, I'm the drama queen because I come out and talk about and publish what I have discovered about the secret past lives of so-called white nationalists and other frauds in the so-called truth movement who have some followings, big followings or not so big followings, but some following on the internet. And my research, I want to say, is impeccable. Well, it might not be absolutely perfect, but it's nobody has proven anything that I have said about things to be wrong. I don't lie. And I don't make things up. And I look up everything. And I present only what I have found. And even Tan has acknowledged that and thought it was all what everything I'd done was good. And so I'm not being scurrilous about it. And I'm not. And then other radio hosts use the information I've discovered and still want to accuse me of being a drama queen, and they don't give me credit for that I was I'm the one that came up with such and such information, but they use it as though, almost as though they found it themselves, or at least as though it just appeared, and they don't say, well, this came from here or there. No, they won't. They'll just start, well, this is such and such, and this has been going on with certain people talking about Rodney Martin. And then they'll even attack, I don't like to use that word attack so much, but they'll even say, well, Carolyn Yeager attacks everybody. And then they use my research that has been called attack, but is absolutely right. And they use it in a more dishonest way than I do it. A radio host just the other day was reading those articles by Rodney Martin that I brought out, and nobody would have ever known about it because nobody was looking for any of that. But I started looking further into Rodney Martin. And so all I did was produce what was on these newspaper articles. And then other people use it. And then, I know why I lost my track of thought there. This radio host who's quite well known, in the white nationalist movement, was repeating what was in those articles, but he was spinning it in some ways that were wrong, and I did not do that, and I thought he went too far. You know, he didn't just tell the truth of it. He said that something was a fact when it was just something that was written in the newspaper, and I never called it a fact. I said it was. But I'm accused of doing that. You know, I said this is what the newspaper said, and it never got taken out. And Rodney Martin said that it had been, his wife had it taken out, but it wasn't taken out. So that's a lie. That's the kind of thing that I say. But this person was leaving all that out, was just making out that what was said was a fact. See, so I really do it right. I do it right, but it doesn't matter because they're men, and I'm a woman, and I have the audacity to criticize them and to criticize the movement and to say things. And I really do believe it's this because men do this all the time, and nobody says anything to them. At least not the way they say it to me. They don't call them drama queens. But now I want to go to who was the drama queen in this instance of the White Network takedown? Did I take down the White Network? No, I did not. No, I did not. The fact is, I did not do anything dramatic at all. Tanstoffel did do the drama. He carried out the drama. Now, I created a little analogy here between me and him as to the roles we were playing here. And so imagine going on primetime TV to criticize your business partner and to list all your disagreements with him or her without letting your partner know ahead of time about it. Your partner learns about it like everybody else on the television. That's how it was for me. I learned about Tan's big difficulty and he's finished with me and so on while I'm listening to his program on that Tuesday along with everyone else. It's like, wow, is this really happening? You know, I can hardly believe this. This is really something and I don't know how to take this. I mean, I know he means it. I know what he's saying, but wow, this is really, you know, this is pretty shocking, pretty horrible. And then immediately following, back to the analogy, immediately following the seeing this on person saying all this on primetime television, then a big ad appears in the local newspaper announcing that by this person announcing they've shut down the business office and they've changed all the locks and they've put security guards around it and that you, his ex-partner, are never going to be let back in and all business will cease. Well, that's the perfect analogy to what took place on Tuesday, April 15th. And that, my friends, is drama. That is really drama. Some of the sort that I have never carried out and would never carry out, would never do to anybody, unless it was, I guess, my enemy, but not to my partner. And Tanstoffel, thus, is the drama queen here. Tanstoffel is the drama queen, not me. Now, in addition to this, you state, in addition to what this, in this imaginary scenario, you... analogy. In addition, you state that your ex-business partner is expected to continue paying the rent on the office so that it will always belong to him and have his name on the door. Wow. You know, that's all I can say to that. Wow. You know, this thing went from bad to worse. It just is unbelievable what the position he was putting me in. And he thought he was so clever, I guess. And I don't know if he's so far gone that he thinks that he was justified in that. But he acts like he's justified, and he keeps coming up with stuff to try to justify it. Now, I'm not going to claim to know what Tan is claiming to know what I was all about and how I look at things and what I meant by things and how I don't know how to see where things come from. Like if I go to Wikipedia and take things from Wikipedia, well, that's all right since he does that all the time. But you have to know, he says, where the source is and what it's coming from and if it's valid. And you know, I've talked about that a long time ago. He may have learned that from me. I went into detail about that on some research I was doing that. One thing, at least at Wikipedia, they have things sourced, and if it's not sourced, they'll say, need a citation. It'll show you that there's no, you know, if you need to be shown that there's no citation for that. It's just written there. It's just could be just made up from thin air. And then you can also go and look at the source that they give you and see whether that's any good. And you can go and you can do that. I was talking about how all the sources for certain pieces of information, this was basically about Hitler and Third Reich, the sources for this all went back to one source, and it wasn't a good source either. So this is how, I know all about this, but Tan is so ignorantly stating, well, she doesn't know how to do that, you know. And well, I want to tell you right now, I'm ahead of tan in what the truth is. I'm ahead of tan in everything. I've always been ahead of tan. Tan learned from me. Tan is a smart guy, but he was way behind the curve on all these issues up until not so long ago. And in fact, after we had already started the White Network, I think that was when David Bailey came on my show early on as a guest, and we talked about 9/11. That was the only show I've ever, I think, really talked about 9/11, because that was important to his development. And so that's why I went along with talking about it. I learned after that Tan still believed in the official story. He didn't believe in the 9/11 truth. He believed in, I said to him, do you, are you telling me that, can you really believe that it was these Arabs with box cutters who hijacked these planes and took them down and drove them and flew them and so on? Well, I don't know about that. He said, I don't know, but I don't know what happened, but I know that he didn't go along with the 9/11 truth business. Now, I don't know if he's changed his mind since then. I've never talked to him about it. I never hear him talking about it. But he certainly didn't know anything about Hitler, Third Reich, World War II, not much at all. He was on the American side of thinking, and that's why he liked my program so much on Voice of Reason. From the time I started there, he liked him, and he said so, and he talked about it in his blog post. I was just watching the time, because I was thinking I was going to have a break coming up, but I didn't get any music downloaded or uploaded for break music. So we're not going to have a break. I'm just going to continue on here. So we don't have to worry about that. So I'll continue about Tan Staffel learning from me. And I liked his writing. I liked him. I always liked him. It's too bad I can't like him anymore, because he's being so nasty to me. But I thought his blog was very good, and I liked his single-mindedness. But I didn't really have to learn anything major from him, because I already knew that about the Jews. But I liked the way he put things, and I thought he was effective. And I was so disenchanted with Voice of Reason at that time and all their multiracialism going on there, that I, and Jewiness going on there, and homosexuality going on there, that I was happy to fall into league with Tan Staffel, because he seemed like he was on a pure track, which I was on and which I believed in. So we hit it off on that, really, on that, no non-whites, no Jews business, which he then turns into now that I was on totally on board with him, or I said I was, about white nationalism, and that this network that he agreed to join with me and build with me was based on somehow now this about page, this about paragraph that we wrote, that I wrote. I wrote that myself, and I showed it to him. I thought, and I said, is there anything you want to change? And he read it. He said, no, I think it's perfect. I don't want to change anything. But now that was it. We talked about it sometimes, but it was not like the end-all, be-all of everything. And he never brought it up to me that I wasn't following it. And all my programs have always been like they've always been. I mean, they've always been heavy on German themes, always. And everything I'm interested in has to do with the Germans. But that's why this is rather unfair. It's very unfair what he's doing, what he's done, and the way he's characterizing me, very, very unfair. And I'm not saying this as some kind of a victim, you know, that I'm playing the female victim. I'm saying, oh, because I'm a woman, he's done this. No, this is unfair. It is patently unfair what he's done, and now he's trying to trash me to justify what he's done. And he's twisting the truth about what we were all about and what we talked about after the fact. He definitely is doing this. And I probably, you know, I have a whole Skype record of 2 years to refer to, and I'm sure I can find things in that Skype record. I certainly would like to do other things than go pouring through stuff like that to have to find things. But most of what we said was in Skype conversations, and of course he probably knew then that he liked that because he couldn't be held to anything. But he talked so well about me all the time, where there was no problem. And one time he said to me, when I said, well, you know, I like doing shows by myself, but I think the people, the listeners like it when I have a guest. I get tired of having a guest all the time because, you know, you have to write to them and you have to set it up and you have to tell them exactly what to do and you have to worry about them showing up and so on. And when I do a show by myself, I don't have to think about any of that. I just me. But I have to have plenty to say. And I was going on like that. And he said to me, don't think that you have to have a guest. He said, the shows you do by yourself are excellent, and they're some of the best ones you do, and you don't need a guest. Of course, he didn't want a guest, and I often joke with him, you know, that he wouldn't put up with doing that. And he said, you're right. He said, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to have to contact people. I don't have to worry about them. I don't have to. He didn't like dealing with people that much. He really didn't. You know, now he's talking the whole different story, but let me move on here. So I'm saying that I may have already said this, talking about being ahead of Tan. Now, I stuck this in here that I listened today, I think it was, to this morning, to that half-hour show he did on April 15th. And so it didn't take too long to listen to it, but it really bothered me. You know, I hadn't listened to it since I had heard it on the 15th, and I was mostly going by what he wrote in that little short blog called The End and posted on his Age of Treason site. And so I listened to that, and I thought, gee, this is really terrible, you know? This is really horrible what he's saying here in this half-hour show. And I picked out a few things that I thought were especially egregious. And one was that he said that I talked for 2 hours on that program of mine on the 6th. No, mine was on the 12th, April 12th, Saturday. That I talked for 2 hours on white nationalism, a subject I don't understand. Well, I did, you know, I talked about 20 minutes or maybe 30 minutes. I didn't go back and time it. I'm tired of having to check all this stuff out. But so maybe I talked for a half hour on white nationalism. And then I went on to other things. But I think he doesn't understand that I went on to other things. And he thinks that I continue to say all these other things tied together with white nationalism. Because he then said that I tie white nationalism together with this Eurasianism. And, you know, I think he doesn't even know, he hasn't been following the Eurasianism thing. And he said on that group show we did a couple weeks ago that when we brought up the Putin and Crimea business and so on, he said, well, he hadn't been following it. So he really couldn't say anything about it. So that's how much he knows about what's going on there. And the rest of that program, a large part of it was about this Eurasianism thing, and it was about Putin and Putin's attitude to white nationalism, say, and to of course, German national, anything about the Third Reich, and all of that. But he thinks I was tying all this together with white nationalism, which I was not. So here I'm quoting from what he said in that program. Now, Eurasian, that's enough for me. It's not white. It's not white nationalism. But she attributes it to white nationalism. It's just another thing. Yabik, he says Jabik, and then changes it to Yabik, and Russian nationalism are actually Eurasianists. And that's another reason the white nationalism is bad. See, now he's really off the wall here. He's just off the wall. I didn't say that at all. I was not even talking about white nationalism when I was talking about Eurasianism and Russian nationalism. I was just saying that Russian nationalism is multiracial. It's not white. It's multiracial. It had nothing to do with what the white nationalism I was talking about earlier. It just meant that his nationalism is not limited to whites, and it's Eurasianist, and that's and so Tan though is saying that I connected them, and that I'm saying that white nationalism is bad because it's actually Eurasianism. That's crazy. That's just really a crazy thing to say. So he's not so smart, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't always know what he's talking about unless he's just talking about his theme of Jews aren't us, and the Jews in the media in the United States, and the Jews in the Jewish talking heads on TV and so on, and whether they're Jews or whether they're not, and how they're promoting the Jewish agenda and all of that. He's like an expert on that, but it's a very limited theme. And he gets into real nitty-gritty analysis, and he only does a half-hour program, so, you know, it fills it up, and that works out well. So that's it. But as far as the larger picture of things, which I indulge in all kinds of things and go into all kinds of things, well, he's not interested, or he doesn't have time, he's not looking at those. He doesn't know anything about it. But he made these statements that are absolutely, if I might say, pretty stupid. And then he goes on after that by saying, continuing directly from that, no, so, okay, he said, it's just another thing. Yabik and Russian nationalism are actually Eurasianists, and that's another reason that white nationalism is bad. He's saying that's what I think, what I'm saying. Then he says, no, they're not. White nationalists then. No. He says, no, they're not white nationalists then. But she, meaning me, she just wants to blame or find fault with white nationalism. So she'll just throw in things that white nationalism isn't and criticize them. You see how he got that all wrong. I was criticizing Eurasianism, but it had nothing to do with me thinking it was somehow the same as white nationalism, which doesn't make any sense. So as I already talked about that, Tan is now taking on this very superior attitude. He thinks he's my superior, but you know, he never has been my superior. He never was, and he never used to think he was, but he thinks so now. And I want to make the point that the words white nationalists do not appear in the White Network About mission statement. There's no white, it mentions twice white Americans, because I knew that he wanted the focus to be on the USA and white Americans. And I agreed. I remember this very clearly. I said, you know, I've never really done that. I know I've been mostly about Germany, but I do realize that I'm an American. I've said this on the air, too. I'm an American. I'm not a German. And I don't even speak German, for goodness sake. And I can't do anything. I can write a bunch of stuff, but I can't go over there and help out in Germany for them to get their country, their nation back again. I can only do something here. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, at my age, I am not going to go out and do something. All I'm going to do is to write and do radio shows. That's all I can do. I'm not young enough to go out and start being an activist. And that's that's just the way it is. And I've been admitting my age for a couple of years now. I mean, I started slowly. Started slowly by saying things like, well, I'm old enough to remember that and things like that, because people, you know, I don't look as old as I am, but it's, you know, it's still there, and I just don't have that kind of energy or even whatever it takes to get out there and work with people. I don't have it. You know, I suppose I never was able to really do that, but I did try. I interviewed a whole lot of white nationalists, and I talked to different people about white nationalism, and I did a lot of shows about it with other people, some of them with Tanstoffel. And I gave Kevin McDonald and a lot of other people, and I gave a lot of people opportunity to come on and talk about things. And I always ask, where's the action? You know, where are we going to something? You know, where's the organization and so on? And that's what's missing. And nobody is willing to do that. Now, Kevin McDonald is an academic, and he's my age. So, you know, he's not going to go out and do that. So who's going to do it? I don't think there's anything wrong with me asking who's going to do this. Because I'm not doing it, I bring that up a lot. So anyway, I don't think I need to go on and on about that. But Tan didn't insist that white nationalists appear in the White Network About mission statement, I mean. And as far as I'm concerned, Tan never identified himself at the White Network as a white nationalist, either in writing, on his program page, or in his program installments. He never said, well, I as a white nationalist think this or that. I don't think he ever did. If he did, you know, I'd like somebody to show me. I don't know exactly, but I don't recall it. It doesn't seem to me that he did. And let's see. Okay, at the White Network, I was going to say here, we made it clear that we were for whites. That was the main thing. The White Network was for whites, and it was against Jews, but it wasn't aligned with the white nationalist movement. And other than whites and Jews, we mostly ignored other races. There were some shows on where blacks and so Mexicans were talked about and mentioned. I can think of a couple of them in particular. My shows. But not a lot. It was mostly, my shows were mostly, about Germans, but also about, you know, anti-Jew, the Jewish menace and all that. So I have here, when we talked about our mission statement, he said he hoped we'd put attention on American, I already said that, yeah, he said it. And I know he wanted that. I already said this. I tried, you know, but I'm not very good at it. But you know what? He doesn't do it either. This is what I want to say. He doesn't do it either. Does he get on his show and talk about white nationalism and talk about how we need to be united or any of these kind of things? Does he ever? He doesn't. Of course, he doesn't want to interview anybody. He doesn't want to do a live show. He only wants to do his own little recording and his own little corner there, and then put it on, file it, and then it comes on, and that's it. That's all. That's what he did. And every time I told him, you know, you could do a longer show. I know people want you to do a longer show. People like your shows. He would get testy with me, very testy, and say, I'm not doing things because you want me to do them. I'm doing what I want to do, and that's all I want to do. It was always like that, so I pulled back and wouldn't say any more, left it alone. Now, I have something here, and I do invite people to call. If they want to call, you can interrupt me anytime here. The number is area code 323, and 642-1206. For some reason, I want to, okay. On Tan Stoffel's post, The End, that he posted on April 15th on his blog, and he posted at the White Network too. That was the final thing there. When you went to the White Network, that's what you saw. And he shut it down. I mean, he closed it. There was no access. He closed me out, and I was the only one with real access at that point. I suppose Paul still had some because he had just learned about Paul, so he would have ended that too. So he made it so that only he could access it. And he says, well, he was going to keep it just the way it was, frozen, on ice. And he wrote, one of the paragraphs he wrote in there was, for the reasons described in my mistake, I have decided, without consulting with or seeking Carolyn Yeager's consent, that the White Network will no longer be used to record or broadcast any new programs. Now, you see, he had no right to make that decision. As I mentioned before, you know, who owns the White Network? Who owned it? Basically, really, I owned it. I was the main owner. I was the owner on paper. He was not the owner, but he had control of the operation there and the passwords and so on, and so he could just take you off, and he could remove your IP, approval for your IP number to come in as an admin, and that was very simple for him to do. But, you know, he decided he owned it, and he would do what he wanted with it. And he said there'll be no further posts or comments. And then he says, I will not allow her to abuse the system I constructed to undermine the purpose for which it was constructed and for which she originally agreed to use it. Originally agreed to use it. Where is the agreement? Uh-huh. There is no agreement. I have admitted that we had some discussion of that. And I agreed that this would be the thing we should do, but I tried. But you know, what about the agreements that he made? He has not kept them. And now he says he never made any such agreements. So that's just words, because there's nothing written down. There's no contracts. And you know what? You can't make a contract with a nameless person anyway. So there wouldn't have been any point in having any kind of a legal contract between the two of us. And I just trusted him. I never would have, if anybody said he might do this to you, I'd say, oh, no, he never would do this to me. Well, he did. Now, also he said that I abused the system he constructed. How did I abuse the system? You see, I'd like a clear answer to how I abused the system. He's saying that we agreed on this about message, and I didn't continue to do it. I was trashing white people. Well, I'll tell you, he abused it. He abused the system by shutting it down. That's what he did. He abused it by shutting it down the way he did. And he stabbed me in the back, and that's what I will say. I will say that. And the White Network was created and existed for 2 years because of me. I was prepared to spend money to find or enable a way to broadcast live and archive shows like the Voice of Reason did. It didn't have to be a big network like that, no. And who created the Voice of Reason? They didn't buy it, I don't think. I think Dietrich did it. I mean, it's not impossible, with maybe some help, it's not impossible to do things like this. And Tan, once he said, okay, I'll go into this with you, he wanted to build it himself. And I started out thinking, well, it's going to take some money, we're going to have to find some software and so on and so forth. But he says, no, I don't think we'll have to do that. I think I can build it myself. And so I said, okay, well, it took a long time, but it didn't take a genius. It took somebody with a lot of computer knowledge and expertise, but he had that. And so the agreement that we actually started with was that he wanted to make something that wouldn't require a Mike Connor, because I had told him, and he was aware of all the problems at Voice of Reason, because Mike Connor would get mad or tired or something and just quit for a, you know, go AWOL for a week or two and wouldn't post the shows. And at Voice of Reason, Mike Connor, after you did a show, Mike Connor had the MP3 and he had to post the show on the network, on the website page, and make it available for download and so on. And it never came to me, but I had to send him the picture I wanted to use and the exact text I wanted in my program post. And then, and I sent it everything exactly, which is exactly the way that he put it on there, because it was good enough. But he said he had to do that because most of the hosts would write sloppy stuff and they wouldn't spell right and they wouldn't, you know, and it would look bad for the network. So he wanted to do all that himself. And then they didn't send him what they didn't send it to him. And so he wouldn't, he finally gave up asking them, and he wouldn't post their shows until they did send it. And I sent mine immediately, right away. And so that's why he was posting my shows. I'm talking about Mike Connor, before he posted other people's shows. And then some of these, oh, hateful white guys were complaining to him, well, how come you're posting Carolyn Yeager's shows, but you're not posting so-and-so and so-and-so shows? And the fact was, is because they hadn't sent in their copy. But this never got out, and these people didn't care about hearing that. There were a lot of these characters who were there hanging on at Voice of Reason who didn't do anything there. They were just talking to Mike all the time or talking to somebody, and they were... I don't know. They might have been donating a little bit, or they were writing comments and so on. Well, finally, Mike quit the comments because he had to take care of that too. Mike Connor was another one. He wanted to take care of everything so that it would be up to his standards. And I had been talking about this with Tan Stoffel, and Tan could see it happening. He could see it. He knew I was telling the truth. And he said, now, when we started this, that what he wanted was to, he didn't want to be a Mike Connor. He said Mike Connor was a weak link in the whole thing, and it fell because of Mike Connor, because he had too much to do, and Tan wasn't going to do that. And he was going to build it so that the host, every host could, or I could, he wasn't thinking about other hosts at the time. He was just thinking about me and my shows. He wasn't even thinking about doing a show of his own. He was only thinking about putting on the Heretics Hour. That was all he had in his mind, was I'll set this up and Carolyn can do the Heretics Hour, and she can do it forever if she wants to, because I'm going to set it up so that it doesn't, you know, it runs on its own, and she can learn how to use it, and then she can do that. Well, I didn't fully understand what he was doing, but I knew what he was saying. So I thought, okay, I thought that was the best thing I had going. And I stayed with Voice of Reason until we could, till the White Network was ready. And so this was what the idea was at that time. Now, I want to say that... if anybody has any questions about that, they can call and ask me. I'm going to go on to something else now. And that is that I do have to say that so much ignorant BS is being espoused by anonymous commenters and who know nothing about it. And Tan's blog on that DN blog post is full of these anonymous commenters who he used to allow, and then after he got to know me, and I don't allow anonymous commenters, and he said he decided I was right, and he wasn't going to do that anymore either, and he started moderating his comments. But for this thing now, he allowed every anonymous commenter who tore into me who came along, and he didn't moderate them out. Well, he allowed my comments, too. I made, I think, three comments on there before the fourth one he didn't post. He wouldn't take that one. But I was just trying to correct some of the wrong things that were being said on there. And Tan knows they're wrong, but he didn't stop them. He never even replied and said, no, that you don't have that right, and corrected the person. No, he didn't care what they were saying. And there it is. Now, so then, after, on that same group of comments, on that same group of comments at Tan's blog, after he realized that the white network site was down, was totally down, he said, he wrote this: Carolyn's response here is an example of what I faced any time I expressed any concern with what she was doing or how she was doing it. Straw men, insults, it's all about what a bad person I am for disagreeing with her. Well, I'm here to tell you, never, never, never did any of that happen. And he's just outright being dishonest here. You know, I'm surprised that he would lie like this. I really am. I didn't use straw man. I don't know what that refers to. I didn't insult him. If I told him once a few times that he really was paranoid, you know, I'd say, you really are paranoid, Tan. I guess he maybe calls that an insult. If I don't just accept everything and, you know, oh, yeah, then it's an insult. And I didn't tell him, I don't even know that he disagreed with me. We never did have disagreements. Or if we did, I didn't tell him he was a bad person for it. That's just stupid. You know, it was never like that. And like I say, and then he goes on to say, whatever, that's over now. I expected her to keep the white network up because others find it valuable, and specifically because that's what the donations were intended for. I have never expected her to do anything for me. Well, that's true, the last sentence. But he doesn't know. He thinks I should keep it up because others find it valuable. Others found it valuable as a functioning network. That's what they found valuable, and he closed that down. You know, this is such hypocrisy. You know, if people found the white network valuable, he shouldn't have shut it down. But he did shut it down. And then he wants to make me wrong for saying I'm not going to support the server for it anymore, and I'm not going to allow the white network domain name, which belongs to me, to remain here. I'm taking all this back, okay? And I think I had every right to do that, considering what he did to me. And I also knew that he had a backup, and I knew he could put it back up. But I wasn't going to, therefore, he could do it on his own dime. He could do it, he could do it because it wasn't going to be that difficult. If that's what he wanted, he could do it. Why have me? Why should I be supporting it for him? I mean, that's really asking way too much. But supposedly, that's how these guys think. If you're a woman, you're just there to serve them, and they can determine for you what your role is and what your role is going to be. Your role is to do this, Carolyn. That's the way they think. And then he goes on to say, and the donations, okay? The donations. He didn't know who the donations were intended for or what they were intended for. They weren't intended. They were intended to have a functioning network with programs, which are mostly by me, coming on new programs every week that they could listen to. They weren't sending donations for a archive of old programs, which is what he turned it into. And then he said I should use the donations to keep it up. Well, I'm the one who handled all the donations, as I've already explained. And not only that, I had to, you know, go to the post office, which is a little ways away. I didn't use the one right in my own small town. And then I had to, you know, sometimes there was, it was just advertising there, and sometimes it was somebody sending me something that was just kind of stupid propaganda and so on. But I had to keep up with that post office box, and I did. And I had to take care of the money that came in, and I did. And I kept track of it, and I never used any of it for myself. And then I had to, and then I didn't have to, but I wrote thank yous to everybody who ever sent anything, whether it's through PayPal or through the mail. And I thanked them on my program. I did all this. Sometimes, Tan never asked about him. He didn't care about him. He knew that he didn't want to give me his name, and so therefore, or his address, so therefore I couldn't send anything to him. At one time, he said he was going to, this is funny, but I don't think I'll tell this, but I will tell this, that when I say he's paranoid, I want to tell you this one little story. I had to cajole him into giving me his phone number. When I said, Tan, what's your phone number? You know, towards the beginning. And he said, I don't really want to give it. I said, why? You know, I mean, I had given him my phone number. And he was given his reasons. He likes to keep it real secure and everything. I said, but, you know, we've got this partnership here. How can we have this if I can't? If something goes down on the Internet and so on and I think I need to contact you, I can't do it. Why? I'm afraid you're gonna call me all the time on it. I said, I'm not gonna call you all the time on it. Why would I do that? I have Skype to talk to you, and I don't call people much anyway. I hardly use my phone. I use Skype for most of my conversation with people. And so finally, he broke down and he gave me a phone number. And we talked on that phone number once. I don't remember why it was, what happened, and he might even have called me, but I won't say that because maybe I called him. Then another thing came up, an emergency. I thought it was an emergency on the network, and I dialed that number, and I was told that that number no longer was in service. So then I was surprised, you know. And then I Skyped him later, and I said, hey, your phone number didn't work. And he said, well, I'm embarrassed to tell you this. And he did say that. He said, I really am embarrassed because you're going to think I'm really paranoid. But I changed my phone number. I said, oh, really? You know, I don't know what I said. And he explained to me that the last time we had talked, the only time, he thought he heard a funny click that, right before we said we hung up, he thought he heard a funny click. And he never heard anything like that. And I didn't hear a click, you know. And he said, so it gave him the idea that maybe my phone was bugged. And if he's if I can call him, then they can bug his phone too or something. He was talking to his wife about it. And his wife said, well, it's better to be safe than sorry. So better to just, you know, change the phone number. Don't have a phone exchange with her. And I was like kind of shocked, you know, but I thought there's nothing I can do about it. He doesn't want this. And so just forget it. Can't talk to him on the phone. Can't call him about anything. And he said to me, if a show doesn't go on for some reason, it's not the end of the world. It's just a radio program. Of course, for me, it's, you know, a radio program has to go on. I'm kind of that way. But it's not for him. So he says that it's, you know, it's for his peace of mind or whatever, he had to do it this way. And just, I shouldn't worry about it if I miss a show once in a while because of it. I just said, okay, you know, I mean, I wasn't going to argue with him. I realized that was the way it was. And that was the way he was all along, and I realized that he was very protective of himself, and he was he sometimes imagined things that weren't, like he's said that he thinks the Internet's going to be taken down pretty soon. He sees things that way. I don't see things that way. You know, I'm not that, I'm not at all paranoid. But so when I say he's paranoid, I mean I mean it. He is a little bit. I don't mean he's raging, you know, raging paranoid, but he is much more than most people in along that line. Now, he goes on to say in that same comment reply, she meaning me, is angry and lashing out at me personally because I'm no longer going to be doing anything for her. She's free now to say everything she always wanted to say about me but didn't because she was afraid I would stop helping her. You know, oh boy, here's, you know, he knows exactly what I'm thinking, doesn't he? You know, that I'm just conniving here and I just, I need his help. You know, I don't need his help now. And I could have found a way without him. I just liked him, and I liked the idea of doing this thing with him. And he's the one that wanted to build it, and he's the one that also wanted to have total control over it because he did not ever allow anyone else any access, only himself. And in the beginning, there was a lot of things still, a lot of work still to be done, and there was different things. I forget what it was. But he was saying he just didn't have time for it all, and it would just have to take time. And I said, well, you know, there's a lot of people, Tan, who are asking if they can help. And in the beginning, of course, there are always all those people who would like, who are excited about it, and they'd like to get in on it and help. And, of course, then it's not a good idea to get most of them access. I said, but we might find someone who would be good and could take some of the load off you. And right away, he didn't want to do that because he didn't want anyone tampering with his system. And, of course, he likes being in control, and he was in total control of it. And I just trusted him, and I certainly never thought he would turn on me like this. Now, he says, and, you know, he acts like I need his help so much in that, and that all he was doing, that he was helping me, and I was trying to be nice because I needed his help. And now suddenly, I guess I thought I didn't need his help because I stopped being nice. And, you know, and then he says, she's free now to say everything she always wanted to say about me. What kind of thing is that? You see, truth is, I always liked him. I never wanted to say anything bad about him. I always defended him when people said things about him and his family. I always defended him, and I was sincere in that. I didn't see it as a problem, and I'm not going to use that, but it's going to come up because people bring it up, and for him to act like he's the world's best white nationalist, it doesn't fit with what he's. But I don't know. He's just got it in for me. He's just got it in for me. After helping me for all this time, it's somehow all this resentment built up. Which suddenly burst out. That's what I think. It suddenly just came out of him because he had been repressing it. He is the one. It's probably the other way around here. He's projecting. He's the one who's had resentments toward me but didn't say anything but because I didn't want to harm the white network, which is, you know, he takes a lot of pride in. And then lately it just was too much for him, and it came. So, and maybe he's got people helping him along with this. Maybe he's got people, you know, talking in his ear because there's an awful lot of people who would have always wanted him not to be aligned with me, always. And he knew that. He knew it, and we talked about it. And he didn't fall for it then, but. Anyway, okay, I covered that. And then this thing about the drama, I did that. This thing about women, I guess I don't have anything really pertinent, just some, I've got some interesting stuff here of comments by people. I'll get to that at the end. I don't know. I'm going to go on to, I had mentioned in my my pre-show statements that why I do what I do from inner conviction. And so I will do it. I will always do it, no matter whether, you know, I'm doing it with this person or that person. I will do it because it comes from my inner, it's an inner conviction of mine. And what I'd like to say is I actually already touched on this. Maybe I touched on it enough. So, but it's my inner push comes from my desire for truth. And I've always been a seeker after truth. I did talk about this already. So I'll go on with, I want to comment on what Tan has just now posted on this site he has gotten up now. He's calling it the White Network Archives site. The White Network, I don't know that, but if he has the right to use that, but he's using it. The White Network -archive.com. He put it up this afternoon, and I have not been able to read it, but I know it. I can tell it's full of terrible stuff and attacks on me. Pretty bad, you know? Pretty darn bad. It's really quite amazing that he thinks he needs to do this. But he seems to have gone through every word I've said recently and written about it and put his spin on it, put his own hateful spin on it, and it's really not very close to the truth. So I really would don't want to, but I'm probably going to have to go through that and make the necessary corrections. This all gets very tiresome, but what are you going to do? Now, since he posted this thing and I've kind of glanced at it, my opinion of him has gone even lower than it was. And I was trying, as I said, to maintain some respect for him because of our long, good prior relationship. And it's horrible to see something just become so, go from good to so hateful and destructive in a such a short time. It's really terrible. And I know there have been people even writing on his blog telling him that they think he was rash and that it was not necessary for him to do what he's done, and looking at what he's pointing at with Mia, looking at that program I did and so on. They just don't see the problems that he sees, and they wish that this hadn't happened. Well, you know, I have to say now I don't really care, but if it hadn't have happened, I would have been happy because it shouldn't have happened. It never should have happened. And it all comes down to Tan Stoffel, because I really didn't do anything to cause such a change of heart that he has gone through. So from what I can see, he wants to poison me in this white nationalist community, which is mostly filled, the one he's working with, mostly filled with people who don't do anything except write comments and demand that everybody follows along what they think should be. I don't know. They have their little favorites and so on. it seems to me that Tan wants my destruction and total dismissal from the white nationalist community. Well, this particular, there's different white nationalist communities, you know, and this particular one, I guess if it's as bad as they are behaving, if they don't want me there, and I never have really been a part of most of these people. I don't even like them, and they don't like me. So I don't know where, you know, really what it's all about. I'm not losing. I don't see that I'm losing anything. And considering white nationalism in this country and what it is and what it's turned into and where it's going, it is no loss. I mean, it's in very bad shape. And I was trying to speak about that, but that's not, you know, that somehow is not acceptable. So I just like to sit back and see what all these white nationalists who don't have names or have only first names or have some kind of screen name, you don't know who they are, what they're going to do. But, you know, they've never done anything, so they're not going to do anything. They just, it's pathetic. It's pathetic what they're all about. So I just want to say that many white nationalists, I think, will be bound to notice just who it is who's behind this smear job of me. And it does happen to be a man with a poor record of his own to be the one who's representing and upholding white nationalism. And I've seen that written quite a bit. And I just don't know what's going to happen here, but I really don't even care. Because I know what I'm interested in. I can continue with that. And I don't need to be a part of the white nationalist community or even pretend to be or participate in it. I don't need to. I'm still a pro-white person, and I'm still myself, and I know who I am. Now, I want to, okay, I've got 15 minutes yet, but I want to quote from the one part of his new blog post, which is very long, my God, that I did look at, and I thought this was something I copied it down for this show if I could get to it. And this is kind of a little ways down from the beginning, but not, you know, still up in the upper part of it. And he writes this, especially now in retrospect, the disagreement between Carolyn and myself is easy to explain. Carolyn thought the white network was literally all about her. I did not. Well, I'm going to comment here that once again, I will repeat, it was Tan who always said the white network was about me, not I. I did not say that. And I always corrected people when they said it was my network. And I said, no, it's mine and Tan Stoffel's. And for instance, at Metapedia, when I was looking at Metapedia for at Rodney Martin's page at Metapedia, and I'm the one who removed the doctor in front of his name, and I made some other changes that was totally biased in favor of Rodney, and for some reason, putting down Carolyn Yeager as this well-known disruptive person amongst white nationalists, so on like that. Well, the way it was presented that the charge that his wife was a Cherokee Indian, which was untrue and blah, blah. So I rewrote that so that it would reflect reality. And it's still that way. Nobody has changed it because it did, what I wrote did reflect reality. So then I saw that the white network was mentioned on Rodney's page. And it was linked. So I clicked the link and it took me to a Metapedia page on the white network. Now, I didn't put that up, and I know Tan didn't put it up, because if he had at that time, he would have told me. But there it was. And it was also biased and distorted and didn't even mention Tan Stoffel. It said it was Carolyn Yeager's network, and she was a disruptive element in the white nationalist movement. And so I rewrote that, and this is what I wrote. I didn't say whites talking to whites about white. That came later, I guess. Maybe it was there. The white network, : whites talking to whites about white interests. And now it says was, but before it said is, a white, so they've already changed it, see, since the 15th. Is a white nationalist internet radio network created by Carolyn Yeager and Tan Stoffel. The network was launched in, and I had linked to his blog, but it's not there now. The network was launched in May 2012. The programs offered are varied from current events and social cultural analysis to European and American history to World War II revisionism, but always for and about the interests of white European-derived people. That's what I wrote, because they had something else that was really awful. And that was the end of it. But now I just looked today, and Since the 15th, this was added. The network was ended by Tanstoffel in April 2014, who grew tired of Yeager's disruptive behavior and acidic personality. Paul Hickman, who hosted a show on the network based on British nationalist information, went on to join Renegade Broadcasting. That's what it says now. Now, who writes things like that on a Wikipedia-type page? It is totally, totally subjective, biased, and by somebody who's just playing in the movement here, you know, anti-Yeager, pro-everybody else. But there it is, you know. I'll go, and I'm going to go eventually when I get time, and I'm going to edit that. And see what happens if it stays that way. But there are people, you see, there's no source for any of this. They don't even try to act like grown-up people at Metapedia. Metapedia seems to be controlled by some kind of cabal of white nationalists who have their favorites, who have their have certain people controlling what they say. And this white nationalist section at Metapedia is just horrible. It's horrible. There's no basis for it. It's just favoritism. And this word, where is it? Behavior. It's spelled in the English way. So whoever wrote this is an Englishman, not an American. But this is, there are people who are trying to portray me everywhere as a disruptive, divisive individual. And that's what's going to be going on even more, probably, by all these so-called white nationalists who don't accomplish anything. They accomplish their own little dominance and cliques and so on, but they don't accomplish anything for saving white people in this country. But somehow I'm to blame for not doing it myself on the white network and making progress in that manner, and I'm to blame for being critical of what these people are doing. Well, I would like these people like Tanstoffel to get out there and do something, or at least to point out what is being done, which I did on my shows when I was there. But he has never done. Point out what's being done for white people, American white people, what's being done in America. Does he ever talk about this? Never. This is what's so crazy about it all. Anyway, here's some more of what he wrote. He then goes on to say, she thought my support and participation was unconditional and irrevocable. Well, and then he says, I did not. He did not consider himself to be, his support and participation to be unconditional. Well, I did not either. I did not ever think that, nor did I ever say so. And, you know, and here he is again reading my mind. He's pretending like he knows what I think and all, and I'm not doing that to him. I'm only trying to go by what I know about it, what we said, what he said to me. And then he calls that gossipy. Okay, I got to continue on here. He said, I regarded the white nationalists about page as the basis for our partnership. Well, as he never told me that. I can say that. He never told me that. He says, it was my assumption that she agreed on this point. This is what motivated me to actively support her and her work in the first place. It was only, well, that's, you know, I'm saying he's full of S-H-I-T right there. And, of course, he'll call that name calling. I'm attacking him. But he is full of it, you know, that this is what motivated him, because he assumed that I agreed on this point, and that's why he did it. He did it, what he said in the very beginning, because he liked my shows. He wanted my shows to continue, and he was afraid I would quit doing radio when I quit the Voice of Reason, because I told him I was going to quit there because I couldn't stand it there anymore. And so that was the reason. It wasn't any of this other stuff. And he says, so when I saw her, it was only when I saw her becoming increasingly hostile to this point that I lost any desire to continue. I have to watch the time, where's my time? Oh, I've still got 5 minutes because I have to manually put on my outro music. And since I have it here, I don't want to miss it. Okay, so he's saying, I saw her becoming increasingly hostile to this point about the about page, that I lost any desire to continue working with and supporting her. Well, this happened pretty fast. He says, once this happened, I made as swift and clean an end to our partnership as possible. Well, that's true. The fruit, but he didn't do it by telling me. The fruit of our project, I have worked to preserve. That he means the archive. Carolyn's response was also swift, but vindictive and dishonest as well. She quickly moved to delete the explanation I had made of our dispute and what I had done, even though to do so, she had to take down the rest of the White Network along with it. He imagines, or he's saying, or maybe he imagines in his crazy mind that I did all this because I didn't want his little explanation in the end to be online, and I took the whole thing down to get rid of that. I'm not that stupid. As I've already said, I know that he had a backup, and that he had that on his own blog already, so there's no way I could get rid of it. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous what he's saying here. It's just like that other stuff above that I said was when he was saying I was talking about white nationalism when I was talking about Eurasianism. I mean, this stuff is, he's either gone off the deep end or he never was very smart, or he's just got to justify what he did. He's got to justify himself as being in the right and me in the wrong. So then he goes on and says, she then melodramatically mischaracterized our disagreement as a one-sided meltdown out of left field and impugned my motives and actions as petty, paranoid, bullshit, berserk, dishonest, devious, irresponsible, criminally unfair, and even treasonous. I'm confident that more hysterical accusations are yet to come. Yeah. One of Carolyn's themes, he says, has been to make gossipy comments that I previously told her this or that in private. Well, I know what he told me, but he can deny it unless it's on a Skype page or written somewhere, and some of it is, but you know, a lot of it was in conversations. I've already covered that. He goes on, besides substantiating my doubts about her trustworthiness, I wasn't untrustworthy. He was. Those are arrogant attempts to speak for me as if she knows my mind better than I do. Well, who is making gossipy comments and who is trying, who is saying what my motives are and why I did this and what I had in my mind? He's been doing that from the beginning when he says that when I was talking about white nationalists on that April 12th broadcast, I was talking about him, and I wasn't. I wasn't even thinking about him. But he's got this idea. He knows everything. And he is paranoid because of these things he's saying. He says, all right, ladies and gentlemen, I've got 90 seconds. And my outro music is 56 seconds. So I have to get that in there before the show comes to a close. So I will say that I got in everything on my notes in tonight's show. I really wouldn't like to do another show on this. I really wouldn't like this to continue on. But, you know, they're going to do it. All right, I've got to play my music. So good night, everyone. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you right here next week. Good night.